deep one downfield. Past the defense is Cruz, who's got it at the 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Giants. 70 yards. Salsa time and Big D. Victor Cruz with another.
Play fake. Freeman back to throw. Under pressure. Heaves it downfield. Intercepted by Roll at the 5. Runs left to the 15. Cuts right back to the 20. Looking for a block up to the 30. And drag down there.
Manning takes the snap. Back to throw. Sidearms one left sideline, and it's caught for the touchdown by Reuben Randall.
Golzine takes the snap. Pass
intercepted as he threw it right. Picked off by a jumping Jason Pierre-Paul, and he runs it in for the touchdown. And finally, Carl, you can say you're down with JPP, the 28-yard TD.
Now here are your hosts, Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Oh, come in. Big Blue Kickoff Live, as the gentleman said. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino, and of course, you. We welcome you in with you for the next hour, talking all things Big Blue. Week one is already started, if anybody tuned in to the big game last night, Seattle and the Green Bay Packers. Seattle was just so dominant. Oh, my goodness.
Indeed.
Talk about a dynasty. Talk about a team locked and reloaded to defend their championship. Unbelievable. As always, phone lines will be open. 201-939-4513 is the phone number to get in. 201-939-4513. We'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show, so please, by all means, hit us up. You can find us at Giants. Include that hashtag GiantsChat, and we will share your tweets, whether they're questions or comments, throughout the program. So again, last night, the season kicked off. Seattle 1-0, Green Bay 0-1. A few things that stood out from that game last night that I feel that we can kind of lead into our expectations for the Giants-Lions game, and we can get into and we can discuss, Paul, is the rushing attack. On one side of the ball game with the Green Bay Packers, Eddie Lacy, high expectations coming into the season. Unfortunately, he leaves with a concussion. He's got 9 days now to get healthy. Hopefully, he'll be back in action week two for the Green Bay Packers, but nonetheless, James Starks came in and ran very hard. He's a little too upright for me, but nonetheless, he runs extremely hard. And also, the Green Bay Packers having issues with their offensive line, dealing with some injuries there. On the opposite side of the ball, Marshawn Lynch was just beast mode. Talk about eating some Skittles and shining on Thursday Night Football. The way that the Seattle Seahawks integrated Percy Harvin into that offense and into that mix was really intriguing and exciting, especially for fantasy football owners out there. If you went out and you drafted Percy Harvin, you've got to like what you saw last night. But let's take what we saw last night and bring it to this show. And because you have an excellent show question for today, so why don't you throw it out for our listeners?
Well, you know, everybody's aware that both Williams and Jennings had a good preseason running the football for the Giants, but Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush can run the ball too. And so I was thinking, as we were kind of previewing this Monday night game, is the best 50-50 question that I could come up with, Anita, that really could lie on either end of the spectrum, is which of these teams between the Giants and Lions will win the rushing battle on Monday night? Because I think if the Giants don't win the rushing battle, they don't have much of a chance of winning the game. So that would be my question. Will the Giants, in fact, win the rushing battle in Detroit?
Well, two things here. You've got two teams who utilize their running backs a lot differently. And I say that with really not knowing exactly to the full extent how Ben McAdoo is going to utilize Rashad Jennings. But
nor Joe Lombardi either, because he's the new offensive coordinator with Detroit, and we're a little suspect as to what he might do.
But at the same time, you know, the Giants are going into the season with Rashad Jennings being the legitimate number one. Andre Williams has looked sensational. I believe that he'll be utilized in the red zone a lot. But on the opposite side of the ball with the Detroit Lions, it's more of a 50-50 game in regard to Joyke Bell and Reggie Bush. I think you're going to see a lot from both, and also I think we're going to see a lot of both those backs being utilized in the passing game. How much do you anticipate Rashad Jennings being utilized in the Giants' passing game going into this week one?
It would not shock me if he catches 5 or 6 passes.
Yeah.
At the very least. Because we've seen it in practice. Now, they haven't shown that much in those games, those preseason games, and we've discussed this ad infinitum on how the Giants have shown very little during the preseason games. But, Anita, Rashad Jennings can catch the ball. He's got all the skills necessary to handle that part of the game, and we have seen it time and time and time again here in the fields outside the Quest Center.
Again, 201-939-4513, the phone number if you want to get in. Also, hashtag Giants Chat. How important, I mean, you know, you look at that Seattle offense last night, and it's just granted, yes, Percy Harvin was very impressive, but when you've got a defense that has to really pay attention to a running back like Marshawn Lynch, it just goes to show you how important that running game, that rushing game, is to the success of that offense. Because, I mean, does Seattle really have a legitimate number one wide receiver? I don't believe they do. And I kind of, when I look at the Giants, and do the Giants have a legitimate number one wide receiver? It's another thing. I don't, no disrespect to Victor Cruz, but I like to call him a mud bug. I look at him as a slot receiver, even though he'll probably be utilized as a wideout more often this season than not. But nonetheless, I'm talking number one, like a Larry Fitzgerald or an A.J. Green or a Calvin Johnson. So kind of talk about how an offense really needs to rely on a solid rushing attack to open things up for a wide receiving core that might not be the best in the business.
You know, Anita, I want to refer to something that I spoke about yesterday when we were doing the program, and I said, wouldn't you like to see for a change the Giants be able to run the ball for a first down on like 3rd and 3 or 3rd and 2? Last night we saw a couple of times, and not only with the Seahawks, but even the Packers, I believe, I remember watching the game and saying to myself, okay, 3rd and 4, and they ran the ball, and they got the first down. In the last 2 or 3 years with this Giants team, what are they doing on 3rd and 3 and 3rd and 4? They're going shotgun, and they're just winging it. They're not even trying to run the football for first downs because they know they've been incapable of doing so. So in answer to your question, it is obvious at how much more the playbook opens up and how many more things can happen downfield. Once you establish that power running game and you force the defense to respect it, if they don't respect it, everything changes. Everything changes. It's all about commanding the respect of your opponent. And until the Giants prove, and I think they're going to prove it over the course of the next 2, 3, 4 weeks as we open up this season, that they've got a power running game again, it's going to be hard for a lot of other things to fall in line. It's got to start with the run. And I know Tom Coughlin feels that way. That's one of the reasons why they signed Rashad Jennings. Now, you know I was a big fan of Ben Tate. I think he could have done similar things to what Rashad Jennings has done. Although I don't know Ben Tate as a person, I really like Rashad Jennings as a person and as a leader and as a football guy. I didn't know anything about Ben Tate as a person or as a locker room guy, but I knew he had the ability to run between the tackles, force that power running game down people's throats, and so I wanted that kind of player. Jennings is that and then some, and then, of course, when they drafted Andre Williams, they got another guy who can do that too. So I agree with you wholeheartedly. Got to get that stuff going on the ground.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's take it out to the phone lines. We've got Rick calling in from Tampa. Rick, welcome to the show.
Oh, great. Hey, I'm the first one. Hey, I love your show program, by the way.
Thank you.
Real quick, question for you. Giants win the coin toss. Are they going to receive or kick? Like, Seattle kicked last night, and I think would behoove the Giants to do the same thing. What do you think on that real quick?
I always feel, Rick, regardless if it's the Giants or any other team, I think it's always beneficial for your team to start off defensively because I don't care who they are. Every player who starts a game starts, and they could be a 10-year vet in the league. They're starting. They've got butterflies in their stomach. Until that quarterback just gives that first handoff, whether it's a dive up the middle and it's a 2-yard gain, everybody on that, all 22 guys are nervous. So I like starting off on the defensive side of the ball as opposed to the offensive side of the ball. I don't have the stats, Paul, and I'm not putting you on the spot because I doubt you do either, but I'm curious, like, what's the percentage across the league of offenses that score, put up 6 points, not three, but 6 points on the first drive?
It's not very high.
Exactly.
I don't have the number either.
You don't have the number, but...
When you include field goals, it's kind of a semi-balance, but if you're only going to go touchdowns, no.
Yeah, I mean, there's an ebb and flow to a football game, Rick, and it takes time to kind of get into that vibe. So I'm a big believer in I like to start off with the defense. I really do.
I have a different reason. I agree with Anita's point, but I have a different reason for agreeing. Tom Coughlin always says you have to take the coin toss and receive because there are only so many possessions in a game, and you want your offense to have as many possessions as possible to maximize your scoring potential. But I think there are two reasons why you want to defer. And if these two conditions, one of them are met, you need to do it. A, if the weather is a huge impact and you know that that's going to be a factor in the game with the weather, the wind or the weather, and you want to be able to play defense first or gain the side of the field that you're going to play towards. The other reason is simply field position. If you don't feel very good about the battle of field position in a particular game against a specific opponent, and the Giants do not match up well with the Lions special teams, it would behoove you to try to tilt the field immediately by kicking off. So I agree with Anita in a general premise, although I think there are some specific cases where it's even more important to kick off than it is to receive.
And I think that, too, but... I would imagine if we did win the kickoff, we would take the ball.
Tom might favor our viewpoint on this because he has put a very high premium this summer on not only trying to get a running game back, but on special teams and field position. Mm-hmm. He went through the entire preseason trying to find the right mix of gunners, and he still hasn't found it, and that's kind of scary. Bowman's going to be one of them. McBride might be the other, could be Washington, could be Damps. A couple of guys, you know, are still in the mix there. But one thing I can tell you for sure, Tom Coughlin is putting an extra emphasis on special teams and field position this year because he knows his offense is not going to be able to drive the ball 80 yards down the field.
Were you surprised to see Richard Sherman on special teams last night for Seattle? Were you?
I don't know where that came from.
And Rick, thank you so much for the phone call, and thank you so much for tuning in from Tampa. Appreciate it. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in on the show. Anita Marks, Paul Dottino with you till 10:30 a.m. Eastern time today. Listen, there are only so many shutdown corners in the NFL. There's not even 32, okay? And he's playing specials?
I don't get it.
That shocked me more than the play itself and the fumble. That I was just like, what? Richard Sherman specials?
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't get it.
And, of course, he's got Percy Harvin returning kicks and punts.
All right, I understand that. But
why,
Sherman?
That's his number one, quote-unquote, wide receiver.
I know, but...
Opposite Doug Baldwin.
Again, if you value specials, and Pete Carroll does, he values specials... probably amongst one of the top five head coaches in the league in terms of emphasis he puts on special teams, you know he's going to have at least some of his premier guys there. Now, Sherman, I just think he's a one-of-a-kind, you know, in terms of what he does for that team. It's a lot harder for them, I think, to replace Richard Sherman than it is Percy Harvin. You know what I mean? If Harvin should get hurt, you could always get a receiver somehow, some way, Anita. But to get a shutdown corner, at least of the quality of Sherman, even though I'm not as high on him as some other people are, he gets away with a lot of stuff. They could never replace what he brings to that team.
Let's talk about that for a second because there's been such a big emphasis this year. And, in fact, Prince Amukamara talked about it yesterday in the locker room about, listen, these DBs are going to have to go up against arguably the best wide receiver in the NFL in Calvin Johnson. And now, not that it's a new rule, but referees are going to be paying a lot more attention to the hands-on after the first 5 yards.
Yeah.
So... Did you see anything last night that
I thought they lit up a little. I did. I thought they lit up a little. Tom Coughlin told us that he was going to watch the games on Sunday because his game is Monday night, and he would definitely keep track of that, and he would get a report at the end of the night as to exactly what it looked like in terms of the new climate, and he said he would share that with his players, and I don't blame him. I mean, let's face it, we're all curious. I thought last night they pulled back.
How difficult do you think that's going to be for the Giants and their DBs going up against that Lions wide receiving corps?
Let's put it this way. We know that Prince has gotten more physical with his play since he got here as a rookie. We know DRC likes to be physical. We know Thurmond likes to be physical because that's the way he played in Seattle. I mean, we know Bowman likes to play a physical game. He brought that over from the Bears. The Giants have guys who lean towards that style of play. So it's going to be very, very hard for them because they have to cognizantly think about it each and every time down the field. Oh, I can't do that. That's against their nature. The Giants built this secondary to be tough, to try to get nasty, to try to, you know, be like flypaper on guys. And so, Anita, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to give you an over and under. There'll be at least two very questionable calls in the Giants secondary on Monday. I'm only going to go two because I saw the refs pull back yesterday. Had I not seen that, I'd say there could be as many as four or five. But I'm going to say two.
Paul Dottino, Anita Marks with you until 10:30 a.m. This morning for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Phone lines are open, 201-939-4513. I know we have some callers on. We'll get to you in a hot second. Also, all things social media, make sure you hit us up on Twitter, hashtag Giants Chat, and I will share your tweets on the show. This is Will NYG. He thinks I'm a negative Nelly. So he says, Anita's back with her negativity. Listen, if anyone knows me, I am not a negative person. I'm a very positive person. I just can't drink the blue Kool-Aid every time I come on the show. We have to sit here and we have to be honest with the downfall of certain positions on this team. And I can't come in and just make it all rosy tell me if you think I'm wrong, Paul.
Well, you know what's funny, Anita?
Please,
is that
it'll make for a more entertaining show if you agree with Will.
For the last month or so, throughout the preseason, I have taken so many calls from people who sounded like they wanted to jump off of cliff and tell me how horrible and miserable this team was. And I got a lot of criticism for telling people that, okay, believe in Eli. Okay, they're not showing a lot of stuff on offense. And I had to calm people down because it sounded like they were preparing for an 0-16 season. And now they're coming after you because they're saying that you're being too negative. It is funny because my sense is, until yesterday's show when you caught some heat, until then, I was under the impression that this fan base was ready to almost throw away 2014 like 2013 and just wanted to start from scratch because they were walking through a garbage pile. I got the impression that the Giant fan base, up until yesterday when you somehow got them irate, that the Giant fan base was ready to just tank the season. So I don't know where that's coming from, why they're coming after you like that, because
it's fine.
I've sensed much more pessimism from these fans than you have.
This is from BK. Don't worry, we're not sharing our blue Kool-Aid with you. Our team's going to be just fine come Monday night.
Yeah.
Let me say this, okay? It is not fun covering a team that is not successful. So I pray to God. I pray that this team is going to go into Detroit and just kick some lion butt. I pray for that to happen. I really do. I hope I'm wrong.
She's not lying, folks. She is the most positive person I know, and that's true. That's really true.
It is not fun being here when this team is losing.
The atmosphere is stifling when they lose.
It's horrible. So I hope that I'm wrong. I hope that I'm wrong. There's just so many question marks, and there's so many concerns that it's not about being negative. It's about being realistic.
Well, you see, I think if I may, partner, I'm gonna try
Please.
To differentiate.
Please.
What I think our version of realism is. I think a lot of times you stress more of the evidence And sometimes I also look at a little bit more of a projection. The evidence right now is that this Giants offense is a mess. And it's not going to do much of anything. And they may score only 3 points on Monday night. Okay?
Right.
That's the way the evidence is. And you tend to stress that. And I don't blame you for it because it's what's in front of you. I tend to look at, okay, what are some of the things that I think I know and that I can project onto this team? What are some of the things that I have confidence in that the evidence has not necessarily shown? And so when I look at it that way, there's always going to be a sense of I don't want to say optimism, but there's going to be a bit of a different take on it. So what I'm saying is I think they're going to run the ball pretty well Monday, even though the Lions have a good front seven. I think the Giants are going to get that running game. They're going to get over 100 yards on Monday night as a team. I don't know if they're going to run for 150, but they'll run for over 100. It's not going to be an embarrassing running game on Monday. I don't believe that. But again, that's my projection. What you see is an offensive line that's a mess. And how are they going to do that? Against Fairley and Ndamukong Suh. So you know what I'm saying? That's what I think the difference
okay.
is here.
Let's go one step further, okay, because Ben McAdoo brought this system over from Green Bay. And, oh, how convenient that the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers played last night. Could you – I sat there and I watched Aaron Rodgers play. He was scrambling for his life. He was having to make – did you see that one play where he scrambled right?
Yeah.
And threw across his body left.
I sure
to
did.
To try to complete – was it Nelson or Cobb? It was one of them.
I thought it was Nelson.
And unfortunately, it was underthrown. But Nelson.
Oh, it was terrible.
But Nelson went up and made a defensive plan. I don't see Eli doing that. I mean, Rodgers had to like scramble for his life. That's not Eli's game.
No. If you
and so if he doesn't have the offensive line that's going to give him the time in the pocket to get off these passes. To be able to execute this West Coast offense, what's I mean? Paul,
it's huge.
So after watching the Packers offense last night and seeing how athletic Aaron Rodgers had to be to just get some plays going, I'm even more concerned now.
If you substituted the bodies in those Packers jerseys last night for the bodies who wear these Giants jerseys, it would have been a lot worse. Seattle would have totally overthrown, even worse, that Packers team on the field. You're absolutely right. That what we saw last night, if you substituted the Giants, they don't have the personnel to do that. I totally agree with you.
Okay.
What I do think, though, is that they will run the ball better, and I do think they will use Rashad Jennings heavy in the screen game. I do think we'll see some wide receiver screens, which we don't usually see from the Giants a whole lot, but I think we'll see some of that too. So I do think that as much as McAdoo has come from that style of offense, I want to believe, based on what I've seen in practice and what I've seen not work during the preseason, I want to believe that he and Tom Coughlin are smart enough to make some modifications, if you will, to what we believe that offense is supposed to bring. I want to believe that. And I may wind up sitting here on Monday night or Tuesday morning and looking at a score that says 31-3 Detroit. It could easily happen. I get that. But I'm telling you, I think because of this defense, their potential for turnovers, and the potential for the Giants to run the ball, they've got a chance to make this game competitive. But Detroit should be favored in this game. No doubt about that.
201-939-4513. We've got a full bank of calls. Let's kick it off with Joe in Pennsylvania on line one. Joe, welcome. On with Anita Marks and Paul Dottino.
Good morning there. Just some observations from last night's game. I did see some. The key thing there was you have to play a good, flawless game against the team, and the Packers had a few penalties where they would have been off the field that continued drives for Seattle. So I think that's something we have to do. To try to play, you know what I mean, a penalty-free and stop not giving Lions more chances. And I did see also, they used the end around a lot. And I know Gilbert used that last year with Gerald Jennigan. So I was just wondering if we'll do that. It worked pretty good for them, and then even faking it and going to the running backs. So that's about all. And one other thing, I could see Cox going to the Packers there if they have injuries on their team. He'd fit in good with the Packers, too. So that's all. Bye.
He's talking about Michael Cox.
Oh, in terms of signing him off the Giants practice squad? You know, Michael Cox is a very, very speedy back who, when he gets out in space, can do a lot of things. But he really doesn't have the pass protection stuff down, which is going to hurt him no matter who wants to potentially bring him in. I mean, that's quite frankly why he's part of the reason why he's not part of the Giants' featured attack. And then the other thing is, he's raw. Just raw. You know, he likes to get the ball and run, but it's also a matter of having patience and understanding what the blocking scheme is and then picking out the right hole. So Michael Cox is a good guy to have around for the Giants, and I hope, quite frankly, that he stays here. But I understand your point.
Yeah.
His speed is attractive to other teams.
Yeah, he's elusive. Do you think they're going to run some ends around like Seattle did last night? That was pretty that opened it up, too.
Against Detroit? I don't think so. I would not. Do that against the Lions.
What?
Run end-arounds with my receivers or backs against the Lions. I would not do that.
201-939-4513. Let's go to Nugs. Nugs, calling in from Minnesota. Nugs, welcome.
Hey, what's going on, Anita?
How are you?
I'm all right. I heard you taking some heat, man. I think Giants fans need to lay off you. You just call it how you see it. You know what I mean?
It's all good. It's fine. I mean, and like I said, I really pray I'm wrong. I really do. I really do. I want to see this team be successful. I have some really big concerns. And we talked about the schedule yesterday. Paul doesn't think this schedule is too difficult. I disagree. I really do. I think the Cardinals' defense is excellent. You've got this offensive line that's struggling, going up against the Texans and J.J. Watt and Clowney after Eli. Does that not frighten you to death?
Yeah, it does, because, I mean, Eli's going to get pressure in his face all day, and then when he tries to, he's going to have Clowney coming off the side, so... Yeah, it does scare me. And I always get on you every now and then about bulletin board material about the tight ends, but, I'm just joshing with you. But this is what I wanted to say, man. I watched that game yesterday. I'm so happy that football's here. I'm just happy that it's here.
There you
That's
go.
First of all. That's first of all. Second of all, it seemed to me like we can't do what the Packers did, which is drink too much of the opponent's Kool-Aid. You know what I'm saying? Because it seemed to me like if you're going to tell me that we're only going to throw to one side of the field all night and we're never going to go deep and we're just going to try to work in the 15-yard box that didn't work for Peyton Manning, but now you're going to tell me it's a 15-yard half of that box because we're not going to throw to one side of the field. I mean, we have to come out and we have to do what we have to do, which means that we got to keep teams honest a little bit. And I just think that last night what Seattle showed us was that in a pass-happy league, smash-mouth football and hitting the other guys really hard will still win the game, And if we're having trouble in any type of way with our passing game, we need to just go back to O.J. Anderson and Rodney Hampton and all them guys. We need to discover our running routes and just let's play some smash mouth football. I'd rather see us lose trying to play smash mouth football and good defense than lose trying to showcase an aerial attack that's not ready to be fully rolled out yet.
Agree with you more.
And so that's just what I want to say. And I just want to say, I'm happy football's here. And Giants fans, lay off Anita, man. She just calls it how she sees it, just like we call it how we see it. So
there you go.
It is what it is. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. So thanks for taking my call, you guys.
Hey, call us again. Thank you. Anita, one thing that I noticed in watching that game yesterday, and I was a little surprised by it, but as the game wore on in the second half, it looked to me like the Seahawks were drinking the five-hour energy. and the Packers were drinking Geritol. I mean, didn't it look like to you that one team had so much more gusto? And I know they were in the lead, and it's easier to be that way when you're winning.
Yeah, but also, I mean...
But boy, the Packers look like drained to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, but keep in mind, I mean, it was opening night. The Seattle Seahawks raised their championship Super Bowl banner.
They were souped up.
It is the 12th man out there. If anyone's ever been out to Seattle or been to that stadium, it's probably the most difficult stadium to play in.
It's tough.
Those players, they feed off of, right? They feed off
they
of
do.
Their fans.
They
the
do.
The energy is ridiculous. And Pete Carroll is an excellent head coach, and he had his guys ready to go. And not to say that the Packers were not. You felt and you saw a bigger sense of urgency, and more hype, more excitement on the Seattle side of the ball than you did with the Green Bay Packers.
I guess I have a lot of respect for McCarthy, and I also have a lot of respect for what this Packers organization's done over the last decade or so. And I don't know. I just felt when they took a couple of standing eight counts that they'd come back and try to counter. And it just didn't look like they had it in them to me. I don't know. You didn't sense that. I mean, I sensed the fact that Seattle had it all going for them. I just didn't sense that the Packers had enough fight in them as that game started getting away from them. I just thought it snowballed, and they just kind of went, oh, all right, you know what? It's just not going to happen tonight. And I guess what I'm saying is, as a football fan, you know, especially opening night like that, boy, I want to see you get off the deck 2, 3, 4 times if you have to try to fight for your life. And I just don't think the Packers really did that as that game started getting deep into the second half.
Again, 201-939-4513. Paul DeTino, Anita Marks. Paul, real quick, your show question again for the fans.
Well, it plays off what our previous caller just talked about in terms of smash mouth football and the power running game. I'm curious to know, who do you think is going to win the rushing battle on Monday night? Is it going to be Bell and Bush with the Lions, or Williams and Jennings, and I guess I forgot Peyton Hillis, with the Giants? I mean, it's a must for the Giants to get that running game going.
All right, let's continue with our calls. We go out to Texas. Randy, welcome to the show.
Hey, doing?
Hi.
What's up?
This is Big Ed from Maryland. How you guys doing today?
Oh, Big Ed. Okay,
Big
we
Ed.
Got a little switcheroo here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we got a crossing route. We're going to hit you on the 15-yarder. Go ahead, Ed.
How you doing?
All right.
Listen here. We got all the elements that we need to do. All we need to do is work it out and play football when time is needed.
Big Ed, to be fair, if you're yeah. suggesting that they have all the elements, then that means you're satisfied with the tight ends on this team, and I would respectfully disagree.
Well, they just have to make plays. Paulie, you know it. They just got to make plays. I mean, that's just the bottom line. You're out there to make plays.
Boy, it's hard. It is hard to imagine this group of tight ends consistently being able to make all of the necessary plays that they have to do in the NFL. I mean, to be able to make the blocks consistently that they need to make, to help out in the pass pro that they need to do, to be able to get downfield and make the catches they need to make. I don't see that out of these three guys. I just don't.
Right.
I wish I could agree with you. Believe me, like Anita said, I it's much easier to work around here when the team wins. But, you know, you look, how long have you been a Giants fan?
Over 20 years.
Okay. So you remember Zeke Moat and Mark Bavaro. Okay, I mean, you probably don't go. You don't go back. All right, you don't go back to Bob Tucker necessarily, but
no.
You know what?
Right.
The Shockies of the world and the Bavaros of the world, those
yeah.
guys got it done. They had
right.
the talent, the tools, the wherewithal to do it. Think about these guys, and now think about those guys, and you're going to tell me you're satisfied with these tight ends?
Well, the whole thing is they have to perform. They have the opportunity to perform. Robinson can make some plays. You know, as a core group, they have to perform.
Okay.
Because
you're right,
have
they
to,
do.
They're going to have to. We don't have a Trevor, Travis Beckham no more. We don't have that halfback, H-back. The tight end is like, Davis is like, you know, the closest thing to that. So it's like, you got to make plays. You're going to have plays where you're going to be wide open down the middle quite many times, and he's got to make the plays. no falling downs like Myers. Myers was great, but he kept falling down too much. You got to be able to hold your balance as a tight end, especially when you're playing across the middle. And, of course, on the line end, making a run block. Because our running game is going to speak for itself.
And I think you're right about the running game. Now, I'd feel better if the tight end's blocked for the running game, but I think these guys, these two backs are good enough that they're going to make something out of nothing. So that's where my confidence lies. Not so much on the tight end helping out with the blocking schemes, but with these running backs being able to create.
All right. You're right. D-line does concern me a little bit. But as long as they get it done, just like tight ends, those are my only two concerns, the D-line and the tight ends.
Well, I'll tell you why.
Everybody else will fall into place.
I wouldn't even put those two in the same category because I feel much better about the Giants' defensive line than I do their tight ends. I really do. That's like night and day. And I'm not telling you that the Giants' defensive line is anything like the championship defensive lines were, but there's a lot more potential in terms of being able to get the job done from those guys than you could talk about with the tight ends. But, Big Ed, I tell you, man, I appreciate the optimism.
Oh, no question, Paulie. Hey, Paulie, make sure you tell Coach Fuel, unleash. Tell him unleash on Monday night. Let him go.
We've had a conversation, my friend.
Go after them. Do not allow them to do anything that they don't need to do.
I got you, Big Ed.
It's dangerous. We do not want him getting off.
Trust me, he's got that Rubik's Cube going.
Yeah, I know.
You have a good one.
All right, you guys. See you Monday.
Take care.
Thank you. 201-939-4513.
Anita, I got to tell you, it's funny because Perry is very excited about this defense, and he has a right to be. I mean, last year they finished eighth, as we've discussed many times over. And they've got some very, very talented parts that they brought in. Guys like DRC, guys like Thurman. We haven't even talked about Jameel McClain a whole lot. He's a good linebacker. He's definitely an upgrade over what they've had here over the last few years. So, you know, aside from the whole thing with the line that Moore needs to develop and JPP needs to rebound, they've added some very good pieces here. And I know Coach Fuel is extremely excited to start unleashing stuff because as vanilla as the offensive schemes have been during the preseason games, the defensive schemes have been even more generic. He's got stuff up his sleeve. Trust me when I tell you. That's it.
Let's continue with our calls. Let's go to line four. We've got Randy calling in from Texas. We lost Randy. How about Michael from New Jersey? Michael, welcome.
Hi. How you doing?
Okay.
Hi, Anita. Yeah. Isn't it true that last year you predicted the 0-6 start, didn't you?
Unfortunately,
I remember that.
not only was she right, after they were 0-2, I then jumped on her bandwagon and said, yeah, I think 0-6 is what it's going to be. She saw it before I did, though.
Yeah, I know. But you know what? This year, I think the Giants got rid of a lot of players that just didn't work out. I think they're going to be good this year. They really are, I think. So I'm on the treadmill right now. It seems like I'm a little out of breath. I listen to you guys every morning after I'm doing my workout.
Fantastic. Well,
and,
from your mouth to God's ears.
Let's get some positive calls in there.
Okay, let's try. Thank you for
and
the
let's call. Let's go Giants.
Thank you.
All right, my friend.
Thank you for the call.
I hate to think.
Stay healthy. I like that he's calling in from the treadmill.
That's very cool, but what's he going to do with his morning workout when the show moves to 12 o'clock?
That's right. Pretty exciting stuff. Big Blue Kickoff Live is combining pretty much with Big Blue Hits, right?
Blue. And on Tuesday at 12, Neela, that's confirmed now, correct? Tuesday at 12 is the Monday at 12. Monday at 12. Well, we've been told again it's now Monday at 12. The new combo show goes from 12 to 1.
And it will be a visual show.
With phone calls.
On Giants.com.
Indeed.
So noon to 1. So grab some lunch. Get in front of a computer. Make sure you log in, tune in, And
try not to throw your salami sandwich at the screen. It gets greasy.
Let's do this. I mean, because, again, the tweets are coming in regard to, like, the negativity. Why don't you do this? Why don't you walk me off the ledge? How about we do that? How about we go position by position, and you walk me off the ledge?
Right, real quick, because we got one caller on hold. Why don't we get that caller on hold off first? Because I don't want to lose them.
Okay.
And then we'll do it.
All right. Randy in Texas. Welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, good morning. Thank you guys for taking my call.
Good morning.
How are you?
Doing great. I wanted to talk about, and I wanted to answer your question, but I wanted to talk about the guys that we had released, and I'm talking about this year as well as last year with the Corey Webster, and yesterday I didn't see Terrell Thomas. Is any of these guys got picked up by any clubs?
Terrell Thomas had a tryout with Seattle and then got cut. Corey Webster did not have any tryouts with anybody. So as far as I know, he's probably either working out at home hoping to get a call mid-season or going to retire.
How about the guys we let go last several weeks? Any of those guys, besides Carl, who went to New England?
Well, then he got waived, and I don't know if he got picked up by them again today. I believe he went back to the practice squad, Kelsey Quarles. And then, let me think now, who else? Kendall Gaskins, the running back, wound up on the Niners practice squad.
Okay.
And as far as I know, those are the only guys who got picked up from the last 2 weeks of cuts.
Man, that's interesting. I thought we had a couple of guys that might go get picked up other places. Okay, the next thing, Pete, I came home for training camp for the second year in a row. I enjoyed it. I'd yell your name out, threw my hand up, and waved at you. I appreciate you waving back at me.
Okay.
And the day I was out there, I saw Rodney Hampton.
Yeah.
And my question was, now, I played pro baseball back in the good old days, and my question was, I used to love doing spring training when they brought guys in, the old veterans. You know, you get guys who played years ago, and they teach you the game and tell you how it was back in the day. Well, I didn't see us do that. We don't do football do that? I don't see them doing that much.
Well,
offensive linemen, why not bring in Sean O'Hara? Why not bring in, you got Banks right there for the linebackers.
Yeah.
These guys, last year
hold on, because I want to make sure, I want to make something very clear. The Giants are very respectful of their tradition, and a lot of their former players and legends and guys even who were just good guys are often at the facility. I mean, Anita and I are here every day, and almost every day you will see a former Giant pass through these halls, either as an announcer or as somebody who's just stopping in to visit or somebody who's doing a community relations thing. And these guys are always accessible to the current players if they want to talk. Trust me, Carl Banks has gotten in the ears of many of guys. Harry Carson is still the Giants captain, and he will be forever the Giants' lifetime captain here inside these walls. And, you know, these guys understand what it is to be a Giant and are always willing to lend a helping hand, however it may be needed, to some of the players from today's team. So I think, you know, while they may not be out on the field actually coaching them,
yes, sir,
they are definitely getting in their ears whenever they can to offer a helping hand. I can't tell you how many times Fegels has talked to Weatherford, probably 5 billion times in the last 3 years.
Right. Now we get Strahan in there and work a little bit more with Devontae Moore, make him that monster he should be. And
Stray's a little busy.
Yeah, he's very busy. To answer your question, I believe the Giants could outrush the Lions. Mainly, the Lions going to throw a lot more. I mean, they got those great receivers, pretty decent tight end. And they have a home run hitter in the running back in Bush, where we had a ground and pound type guys, and I think we're going to stick it in their gut a lot more than they will. So you guys have a good day, and I appreciate you taking my call.
Again, 201-939-45.
I'm sorry, I had my headset off for a second. I didn't hear the question, the last question, which was, I'm lost. We lost the call.
Yeah,
I was trying to figure out the practice schedule, Anita, so we could kind of get our order done today in terms of how we're going to deal with things. I apologize for that.
No, that's okay. So practice starts at 11:55. You could have just asked me.
Oh, okay. You had it written down.
Yeah, practice starts at 11:55. Players will be made available to the media at 1:50. And, of course, Tom Coughlin will speak to the media after practice as well.
Okay. All right, that settles that. And I apologize to the caller for losing the last half of his question.
Let's go to Ari calling in from New Jersey. Ari, welcome.
Hey, Anita. It's Nucci, Ari. But I just want to...
I'm sorry, what did you say?
It's Ari. No teeth.
Oh, okay. We got you.
Yeah, I said Ari.
Okay. No, never mind. Okay. I'm going to walk you back off the ledge a little bit, all right? Because I did hear you. I heard you on ESPN Radio a couple days ago or a week ago or so. Just very demoralized. But anyway, this defense is going to carry us. This defense is going to be a top five defense in the NFL, and they are going to carry this team for the first 4 weeks of the season or so. And the running game, we're going to have to run the ball. If we run the ball and we can, navigate over the first 4 weeks of the season and get to 2-2, 3-1, which is very possible, it could build a little bit of momentum for the offensive line. If the offensive line gels, that's the only question mark on this offense. Eli has proven in the past that if he has an offensive line in front of him, he can make playmakers. So that's the question. The one question, I agree with you, is the offensive line. But if we can steamroll a little bit and get a little momentum and learn how to play within the system 4 weeks in the season, as long as the defense carries us the beginning of the way, we're going to be great. We're going to be very, very good. All right?
Well, I appreciate the thought, and thanks for the call. Please do call again. Anita, the one thing I would say about this defense, and I am confident, you want to talk about trying to talk people off the ledge, I am confident that this defense is a top 10 defense. Is it a top 5 defense? I'm not 100% sure. And you know why? Because to be a top 5 defense, you have to get quarterback sacks. You have to get 45 to 50 sacks. That's part of what makes a defense an elite defense. One that gets a ton of quarterback sacks, and one also that gets a ton of turnovers. Now, I think they're good, and I think they're going to get a bunch of turnovers. I'm not sure how many sacks they're going to get, though, and that leaves me a little bit of doubt about them being a top five defense. But I think they're going to be good.
I think they have all the talent in the world, and we've been talking about their secondary for quite a while now.
Yeah,
their secondary has probably been the most impressive, really, outfit of this makeup of this team. But one thing that we're not talking about is, come the fourth quarter, if this offense cannot sustain drives of 4, 5, 6 minutes, how tired is this fantastic defense going to be in the fourth quarter, Paul?
Three and outs will kill those guys.
And that is a concern.
Has to be. Which is why you need to run the ball with Jennings and Williams. It all goes back to those guys. Put it on their shoulders. You know why? Because their shoulders are pretty strong.
Let's go to Eisen calling in from New Jersey. Eisen, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Yes, how you doing? Oh, quick question. I want to know, you know that tight end that used to play for us and he ended up going to the Patriots?
Jake
Ballard.
Yes. What happened to him?
He's retired. He had microfracture surgery, and
His
knee just never recovered properly. So he's unfortunately out of football.
He was in Cardinals camp most recently, but yeah, that's it.
Oh, okay. And how is Prince Ucumoro doing? Is his injury 100%?
His groin seems to be fine. He's practicing, and he's ready to go.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
Okay, great.
All right. Everybody.
The one thing that I will say, Anita, about this offense, and again, you ask me about some of the negativism and where's the hope coming from. I will say this. You and I both know Eli Manning's work ethic. We both know of his intelligence. We also know of his physical limitations. I agree with you. The evidence before us right now says that Eli's not a great fit for this system. I think we both questioned it when McAdoo was hired as to how is this system going to fit Eli Manning and vice versa. But what I do know is this. He works as hard as anybody in this league, and he's tireless in his effort and his desire to get it right. And I think at some point you got to give him that and say, okay, you know what? He may not be a perfect fit for the system, but he's going to be able to will himself and study himself to get to a level where he can succeed. He may never be great at the system. In fact, I'm sure he won't be. But can he be good enough? And that's what I'm saying. Hang your hat on the belief that Eli Manning busts his butt and he's a pro's pro and he'll do what he's got to do to try to win games. I mean, that's about the best thing I can give you in terms of the quarterback and the system. Hang your hat on Eli's work ethic, his resume, his pedigree, and his relentless desire to do better.
All right, let's continue. We've got Chris calling in from New Jersey as well. Chris wants to talk about the offensive line.
Hi, good morning, Anita. Good morning, Paul.
Welcome.
Hi. Two questions, actually. Yeah, the offensive line. When you had David Deal, Seibert, and Chris Snee, they brought a nastiness to that line. I'm just curious. I mean, I could see Richburg. He seemed to be like maybe a nasty
yes.
type of light player.
A bulldog.
Who else on that line? Yeah, right. Who else on that offensive line do you see as having that nastiness, that a road grader, somebody that's going to go in there and really want to knock somebody's head
off? Well, Walton doesn't have the physical makeup to do it. He's a little on the smaller side, but he is strong and he does fight.
Okay.
Okay.
So really, maybe just them two?
So I would say that Richburg and Walton are the guys you want to look to for that. The leadership, the guy who they want to be the voice on that line is Justin Pugh. And my understanding is, from talking to folks inside the organization, that Pugh is starting to develop that here in his second season with the team. But they really want him to be the voice of that line because they need an identity. And obviously, when you're changing guys out every hour on the hour, you can't have an identity.
Yeah, he's steady. I mean, he was just plugged in there last year, and he's just been steady.
He was all rookie, you know. But again, remember, as well as Justin Pugh played, and as much talent and, you know, the attitude that we believe he has. And, Anita, you know, how many times do we have to say this time and time again, too? Rookies, young players, they're going to make mistakes you have to live with. No matter how good they are, they're going to make young players mistakes. And you're going to have to live with them. That's just the way it is. Guys have to grow into those positions.
That's why Tom Coughlin really doesn't like to play rookies that often.
There you go.
Right.
And so that's part of Richburg. I think you agree with me. You like Richburg, right, Anita?
Oh, I think he's great.
Right? Big time. He's going to be really good. But he's now the starting left guard at the moment. And you know what? There's probably going to be a few plays on Monday night where he's just going to be absolutely dreadful and he's going to get whipped or beaten or whatever the case may be. He's going to make a horrible mistake or an ME.
Sure.
And you're going to say, oh, wow, look at that. Oh, no. Remember, he's a rookie.
Yeah,
those things happen.
He's got to go through some bumps in the road, absolutely. And one last question. I know, and I agree with most Giants fans and what you guys are saying, we're going to have to run the ball. We're going to have to rely on that for those first four or five games. But my question to you is, both of you, is on Monday night, while we're relying on that running game, how tempting is it going to be for McAdoo with that subpar secondary that the Lions have
Great question. Try
and go after them when they bring that third and fourth DB onto the field? Do you think we're going to stick to that running game, or do you think he's going to be so tempted we're going to start throwing the ball more than maybe we really wanted to?
Anita, I'm going to let you have that one first.
I don't know. I can't answer that because, I mean, we've never really seen, right, McAdoo in game action. You know, how tempting is it? We know what Gilbride would do.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Fling that rock, baby.
Yeah, Gilbride would be extremely tempted by the secondary of the Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
I don't know how McAdoo calls games. I mean,
right.
You know, this is his first go at it.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I how tempted, you know,
but I
how
think
tempted
just being
is
a human
be?
Being. just being, you know, the way, you know, you would be tempted, you know, to see
Anita's right. If it were Gilbride, he'd be throwing it. And
right.
And I think Anita and I would both agree, we know Eli well enough to know that if he had the choice, he'd be throwing it too.
Right. Okay.
But I think, Anita, the one thing that I've tried to tell folks, and again, please call us, just give me a second here to further explain, in doing this new style or this pound and ground and pound and so forth and so on, Eli's going to have to kind of hold himself in because he, Mike Gilbride, wants to take those shots. And Eli's going to have to bite his tongue. And he's going to have to say, no, 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 no. I can't do it myself. I can't spark this offense. The best thing to do, the smartest thing to do, is to ride the shoulders of these running backs. Eli has to take a step back. And he's got to realize he can't be Superman. He can't make this offense work on his own, Anita. And I think that's a very, very critical part of this equation. I think Eli's smart enough to do that, but it's against his instincts to hold back.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. About 5 minutes left for Big Blue Kickoff Live. Also, monitoring Twitter. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat, and we will share your comments and questions within the next 5 minutes. Let's continue. We go to line two. Ed, calling in from Houston. Ed, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Happy Friday to the two of you.
Thank you very much.
Hey, if you were the defense, and I'd like both of your opinions on this, if you were the defensive coordinator for Detroit Monday night, and you're sitting there looking at tape, and you see the Giants have no speedy receiver, they have dollar general tight ends, right now they've got a makeshift offensive line, Paul's sitting there saying they need to run the ball, stay out of trouble, and I agree with that. I just don't think they have the tools for it because they're going to be very one-dimensional. And if you look at the defensive set for Detroit, I would think, knowing there's no real threat on the outside, they're going to crowd the box, and they're going to try and stuff the run early, and then they're going to go after Eli. And what I'm afraid is we're going to see the first quarter of Carolina all over again from last year.
Quite frankly, that's one of the reasons why you have to favor the Lions in this game, because the best way and the smartest way for the Giants to attack this game plan and to try to win does not suit them well against the strengths and the weaknesses of the Lions. This is a bad matchup for the Giants. You've hit this right on the head. What I've explained to you is the smartest way for them to go about it. And unfortunately for them, the smartest way to go about it just doesn't suit the Lions. So you're right. You're 1,000% correct. You have sized this up beautifully. That's why the people in Vegas believe that the Lions are going to win this game.
Yeah, well, I'm one of the guys that go back to the Bob Tucker era, so I've
so
seen a lot of change over the years. I know, I've listened to you quite a bit. How about you, Anita? What do you think?
She thinks it's a bad matchup, just like I do.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, if you've listened to what I've said the past 2 days, and if you've looked at the comments on Twitter, I'm being called the negative Nelly. You know, I'm not going to sit here and apologize for it because it's what I've seen. I've been here. I've been watching this team, whether it's practice or the preseason games. I haven't seen enough productivity from this offense to be confident that they're going to go up to Detroit and put some points on the board, which I think they're going to need to do because Detroit's offense is so explosive. I've been talking a lot about this week. I've been talking a lot about Golden Tate. Golden Tate does so much. Golden Tate goes from being a number one on the Seattle Seahawks wide receiving core to a number two on the Detroit Lions because he's playing opposite Calvin Johnson, and it is going to open up a number of things for him. He has the best hands in the NFL. Any DB across the league would throw him in that category. You've got Joique Bell and Reggie Bush who's utilizing the passing game. That means whether it's Jaquan Williams, somebody's going to be going to have to be back there shadowing, monitoring those DBs coming out of the backfield being utilized in the passing game. There's going to be a lot of one-on-ones on Golden Tate. He's fast. He stretches the field. He's a vertical threat. You've got Stafford, who's got a big arm, who can get the ball to him. On top of that, you're going to double-team Calvin Johnson. No disrespect to any of the DBs that are on this team or anyone across the league. You can't go one-on-one with Calvin Johnson. He will kill you. So the Giants are going to have to put up some points to win this ball game. And based on what I've seen this preseason, how are they going to do that? That's my biggest concern going into this game. I pray that Paul's right, that what Paul's seen in practice, we haven't seen the total package of what this offense can do. And Eli and Ben McAdoo come out and shock the world on Monday Night Football. That would be a beautiful thing.
You know, with all the changes we've seen and all the enthusiasm in the offseason, if we go back 1 year before Game 1 against Dallas a year ago, I think in general we were more optimistic and more confident with the offense a year ago at this time than we are now, in spite of the deficiencies we saw in preseason a year ago.
Well, last summer we were talking about what we thought was going to be a huge bounce-back contract year performance out of Akeem Nicks, and that didn't happen, did it?
Yeah. No, not at all. It just started bad and went downhill from there. I mean, The first pass Eli threw, that screen pass that Ware caught, that summed up the whole year.
Hey, thank you so much for the phone call. Appreciate it. It's 10:30, but let's get one more or two more calls in really quick. Where are you going? Line one? Okay, so we don't have... Okay. All right. Well, no more calls for today, then.
Okay.
Again, just to give you an idea of how the schedule goes, because the Giants play on Monday night, this week has been pushed back. So today is actually a Thursday, based on the normal week schedule. So we've got practice at 11:55.
Okay.
After practice, Tom Coughlin will be made available to the media, and then players will be made available to the media at 1:50. Make sure you log on to Giants.com to hear all that post-practice reaction, and of course, more comments for the players as they get ready to take on the Lions. And also, First and 10 debuts this season.
First and 10 debuts, I believe, at 5 o'clock tonight on MSG.
Okay.
We'll have a part of that show. Also, click on Giants.com for the daily report. We'll file that later on this afternoon after practice. And the morning report, of course, comes your way every Monday to Friday as well. We'll have something up for Monday morning, so that you can get yourself ready for the Lions game.
And Monday, the brand new show, we will no longer be broadcasting at 9:30 a.m. The show combines with Big Blue Hits Live, so it will be audio and visual. You'll be able to go on Giants.com, and it will be a visual show at high noon starting Monday with a lot of talent, a lot of characters, myself, Paul, Lance, John, Roman, Sean,
oh,
from what
boy.
I understand, right?
They're going to see us, huh?
It's going to, yeah. You actually.
So I have to be on my best behavior, don't I?
Well, I mean, I'd expect you to dress a little bit more appropriately, maybe a little makeup. I'm kidding. So an exciting week two ahead for Giants fans. Have a great week, and stay tuned for all your pregame coverage right here on Giants.com.